Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Introducing former Warriors sideline reporter, Matt Steinmetz.
Phenomenal hair. Yeah.
Former sales rep for a phone company, Daryl the Guru Johnson.
Hell yeah!
And former Wheel of Fortune contestant, Dan Dibley.
No.
This is Steiny Guru and Dibs.
For show.
On 95.7, The Game.
All right, I got to try this with apologies to Baron Davis, Steven Jackson, Jason Richardson, Matt Barnes, Al Harrington, and maybe more specifically, Bob Fitzgerald. Do you believe now, Dibs? Do you believe now the Warriors follow up a great win against Utah with maybe even a better win against Phoenix? Hey, Dibs, and welcome Nick Friedell in for Daryl the Guru Johnson. We got action. We got action.
Nick Friedell. And I thought you were going to go straight to Guru with, I'm excited, because how can you not be excited?
Jesus.
Nick, I mean, pick any goose out you want, but the excitement, palpable. You beat Utah and Phoenix back-to-back? Wow, man. How about this team, Nick?
Oh.
The word here, guys, is fun. This team... watching the way they've performed the last couple weeks, watching the way they've come together since the start of the season when things were looking really, really rough, and importantly, in these last couple games, watching the way that they've picked up for Steph, because Steph, frankly, looks human in these last two. He looks a little tired, and for the Warriors to win these last two against the Jazz and the Suns when Steph didn't have to carry them the whole way, especially last night, shooting the way he did from the outside. This is a fun team to get behind right now, and it's a fun group to know that they all know what they're doing and that fans have really rallied behind them the way that they have over the course of this long season.
Yeah, I mean, there's so much that's sticking out to me about what's going on with the Warriors right now. There's always something really cool when a team in front of your eyes starts to figure out how they have to play to be the best possible team they can play. And we know the Warriors have had injuries. We know maybe there's some more talented players that haven't played in this 8-10 game stretch or whatever it is, Dibs. But, man, this team's got such an understanding and such a confidence of what they have to do that I'm still skeptical about a 7-game series, but we don't have to talk about that right now. But what we have to talk about is how this team is reaching its potential as a team. And that's, I think, as important as winning a title almost, if you don't have the talent to win a title.
If you're not going to win a title, then you at least want to be gelling, to use Wiggins' words, gelling at the right time, and they are. And you're competing for a playoff spot. You're already guaranteed a play-in spot. Can you go from the ins to the offs? And if you get to the offs, can you then do something that we haven't seen as Warriors fans since, we believe, which is a shocker, a first-round upset? And that's not possible if you don't get to the offs. If you're stuck in the ins and you don't get to the offs, you don't have that opportunity to be We Believe 2.0.
Yeah, they really they're surprising me. I mean, I'm not gonna sugarcoat it. I mean, this team's surprising me, and they're doing it in so many different ways. And Nick, you hit the nail on the head. Steph Curry, 7 for 22 last night, 1 for 11 from 3-point range. How many games do they win like that? And I guess I'll tell you, thanks to Dibs and our producer Kyle, it's only the fourth game they've won where Steph has basically shot this poorly. And the games they won were against Minnesota, Houston, and Toronto. When he scores 21 or fewer, they don't win very much. And when they do, it's usually against a team that's not very good. They went out there and beat a damn good team, and Steph Curry was not very good last night.
The best sign there, Steiny, is that it was Andrew Wiggins.
Yeah.
Andrew Wiggins who picked up the slack. And I say this as somebody, when they made that deal, I went, oh, no. Oh, no, 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 no. This is not going to turn out very well. I'd watched him way too many times in Minnesota. But to Andrew Wiggins' credit, especially in the last 6-7 weeks or so, you know what you're getting from him offensively, but defensively, that continues to be the difference. And he was always capable of nights like this, but it's one thing to have a night like this against the Kings or a team that just doesn't matter and isn't at the top of the West. It's a whole different beast when you need somebody else to step up. And Phoenix, guys, they were doing everything in their power to get the ball out of Steph's hands. In fact, I'd argue, as far as a defensive game plan goes, Phoenix executed what they wanted to do to get the ball out of Steph's hands better than any team that I've seen, because he's coming up the floor and instantly he's got two guys on him, sometimes three. And teams can talk about doing it, but Phoenix was practicing it and was doing exactly what they wanted to do. For Wiggins to step up in that moment shows you again how comfortable he's gotten in this system. Because, Steiny, goes back to what you were just saying. Draymond said it last night. He said, earlier in the season, we would have lost this game by 40. And for all these guys playing 8 deep with the injuries that they've had, to be able to rely on Andrew Wiggins the way that they did last night and have throughout these last 2 months, it's a credit to him for finding the rhythm he needed in order to play at his best. And it's a credit to the Warriors front office for believing there was something more there coming from Minnesota to get him to this point.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's get this thing started at 888-957-9570. What right now do you think is the best part of what the Golden State Warriors are doing? Because what they're doing right now is interjecting themselves into a discussion about the playoffs and whether or not you want to play this team in a 7-game series. Now, we know they have the play-in game that they've got to get over. But the bottom line is this team is playing its best basketball of the season. Steve Kerr's got this team on the same page. Wiggins has emerged. Draymond Green is playing maybe some of the best basketball of his career. Defensively, they're bought in. What is the thing you're enjoying most right now about this Golden State Warriors team? And Dibs, I'll just, you know, of the myriad of things, one of the
myriad.
Things myriad of things. I'm just watching that game last night. Chase Center. There's some action there, too. It felt like, believe it or not, they had an advantage in that building last night.
You can see it from the players' countenance and their general demeanor. You know, when you get mini roars coming up, people are getting excited. And we're seeing this in a lot of different sports and watching more PGA Tour. And you see Quail Hollow in North Carolina, and there's actually roars, and the players talked about the lift, and you're seeing it now from the Golden State Warriors and Steph with the game winner the night before. And, you know, kind of a muted crowd noise because there's not 19,000 in there, but it seems like, and Nick, you're in the house each and every, not even each and every night, each and every possession, it seems to be getting more and more of an actual home crowd advantage.
Dibs, the last two nights were as loud as it's been in Chase since probably that Christmas game against Houston in Chase's first season. And you can tell everybody, the players who have come up to the podium after the game, they're going, yeah, this is pretty cool. Because it had been so long. In the beginning of the season, there weren't 50 people in there.
Right.
Then you had some friends and family, and that made a little bit of a difference. But the emotion that's coming through is palpable. And last night at the end of that game, I think this is the most interesting part to me, guys. And Steiny, this ties directly to what we're going to be talking about these next few days. It's the uncertain nature of what you're going to get every night. And it's the reality that even when Steph doesn't have it going, they still give themselves a chance. And that's the difference between where this team is now and where it started 4 or 5 months ago.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So a discussion to be had. Talent versus chemistry. I think most people would take talent over chemistry, but talent without chemistry is going nowhere. And when you have chemistry, sometimes you can overcome some talent deficiencies. So let's get it started on 95.7 The Game, 888-957-9570. It is a great time right now to be a Golden State Warrior fan. What is your favorite part of what this team is doing? And also, in somewhat of an unrelated topic, one of our favorite Bay Area radio stations is changing its format. And I'm going to let Dan Dibley explain that on the other side. But one of the most popular Bay Area radio stations is changing its format. I will explain on the other side on 95.7 The Game, and it's brought to you by Workman Law. Workman Law is a woman-owned, woman-managed law firm representing the rights of working men and women throughout California. Robin Workman can answer your questions about your employment rights. Call her for a free chat at 844-99-WORKMAN. That's 844-99-WORKMAN.
Now, back to Steiny, Guru, and Dibs, featuring Nick Friedel on 95.7 The Game.
I tell you what, I got to admit, this is fun watching the Golden State Warriors right now. And one of the reasons it's fun is because you start thinking about Dibs, the day that we learned Klay Thompson was out for the year, and the feeling that this Warrior fan base had, and kind of the realization of, well, now a title's probably out of the question. I mean, maybe it is. It probably is. But that doesn't mean there can't be an incredible amount of satisfaction. And I think that's what's happening right now, Dibs. Anytime you're watching a team that is, I don't even want to say overachieving, but reaching their potential, it's fun.
Yeah, overachieving. You could say overachieving. It's
okay.
Not to say that, you know, like the 73-9 team, they overachieved. No one thought they'd be 41-41, but they did better than we thought. This Warrior team, you had them at 36-36. Vegas had them about the same. And quietly, they're tiptoeing toward Guru's 44-28. Now, they're not going to get there, but, you know, this team, Nick, is better. Not, you know, and again, Joe Lacob loves when I go to my belt analogy, because I don't know if you've ever lost weight or gained weight, Nick, but you get to that point where it's a whole belt notch difference. Well, this team's about a half a notch, where you have to cut a notch between the two notches on the belt. They're a half a notch better than what we all thought. Not a full notch. I give them a half a notch.
I believe if it's a leather belt, you're going to need an awl for that, I believe.
Correct. Yeah. Correct.
Yeah, Nick.
Dibs, I am well-versed in the notch, no notch. Dropping some weight here and there. But the part about the Warriors that I think they deserve the most credit for as a group is so many people had just written them off completely as to what the year could be. And part of the reason I think this has become so much fun for fans, guys, is because you just don't know what can happen on a nightly basis. And this goes back even a few years, those last couple of years with KD, and Andre Iguodala and Livingston and when Clay was healthy. You knew that they were going to dominate everybody. Even when they were winning or they would lose a game, you're like, ah, well, they'll win again tomorrow. This team, you don't know what the hell is going to happen every night. And that makes it a little more fun because you have to listen. You have to watch every night to see what's possible. But to know that Steph has played this way and to know that there are guys behind him now who are able to pick up the slack in a way in which they can go and knock off the two top teams in the West. Not only has that given this fan base a jolt, but internally in that locker room, I think the confidence level within this group is higher than it has been at any point in the last year and a half.
I totally agree. I totally agree with that. And their understanding, I think, among Draymond, Looney, and Curry, the champions of that group, that, okay, we don't have the talent that we had during the KD year, but these guys are gamers. They're gamers. They're tough dibs. And I think that's another thing that's feeding the three veterans. But before we get into that, I do want to throw it to Dibley. Nick, you know, Dibley's been in the radio business for upwards of three decades, and he's got a real good sense of the pulse of the radio business in the Bay. And one of our – well, I'll just let you explain it, Dibs. We've got a format change of a station that we really like.
But it's been a station that's been so reliable and so consistent. KWIG, KWIG. And I'll tell you what, we made a lot of hay in this market with soft, smooth 5 of 13s and 6 of 15s. But you know what? The listeners demand a change. Gosh darn it. Oh, Snooky. It's a mother jumper format change because we are bringing the noise, the Niz noise. Andrew Wiggins, people, getting militant. The S1W, 38 points on 17 of 24. Where have you gone? Smooth R&B jams on the weak side and ineffectual late points in a blowout win or loss. Andrew, mother jumping Wiggins. Woo!
Yeah. So put away your Grover Washington and your Joe Satriani.
Not anymore.
You're
George Benson.
You guys.
No George Benson.
Gone. He's out.
Yeah, it's all
Lou Rawls. See you later.
You'll never
Lou
find.
Lou Rawls is not a part of it.
No. I love the young people.
It's Bedoni. We're having fun with the bit here. Don't ruin it.
Exactly. We're having fun with the bit. Yeah.
KWIG under a new management, new format change, and I can't help but think, Nick, if the records started being played differently when Kelly Oubre Jr. left the floor, maybe Oubre was the one who had him soft, smooth, and warm, like a nice tall glass of cognac. But all of a sudden now, guy is bringing it like a 40-ounce malt liquor.
I was day drinking.
Boy, Wiggins, man.
Steiny, this is where you're spot on, though, and this ties back into a larger conversation about Kelly Oubre. For as much talent and as well-liked as I know he is with a portion of the fan base, the reality is, especially when you're watching Wiggins, when he's going off like he did last night, he plays better when Oubre's not on the floor. The numbers have backed this up all season, but this is absolutely true when you're watching Andrew Wiggins. I mean, Dibs, I about fell over last night when Wiggins is driving to the rim and throwing it down. I thought, what in the hell are they going to play on KWIG tomorrow? Because he was just going crazy. But when you take Oubre off, and it's the same thing if we're being honest about taking Wiseman off, it's not that nobody is saying those guys aren't talented. Nobody is saying that they haven't helped at various points throughout the year. It's just that system-wise, the way this group needs to play in order to win, they are better when Wiseman is not on the floor right now, and they are better The numbers have shown when they are not trying to force feed the ball to Oubre, or Oubre isn't trying to force feed the ball on his own to the rim. And the biggest beneficiary of that certainly has been Andrew Wiggins and the growth within his offensive game within this system.
Yeah, good call. And you know, the question is, you know, if there's uncertainty whether Oubre will come back or not. And I mean, quite frankly, it's low on the priority list right now. Let's go out to Coach Duran in the Yoon. He's got a comparison to make with this team. What's up, Coach Duran?
Hey, what's up, fellas? Steiny Guru, Gibbs. Hey, how's it going?
Say hi to Nick Friedel real quick. He's in for goo.
What's up, Coach?
I just want to say some good words. That was a huge win last night. We came through. Wiggins got off last night. His blood pressure was up through the roof. I think he had his protein bar, and that was pretty good. So I just wanted to say, I think we have a first-round chance of lay it to smack it down on our opponent. We believe 2.0. I think it's really good. So some good positive words for Dub Nation. I think we have a huge chance to upset whoever we play in the first round.
Thanks for the call. Appreciate it. You know what's funny is the idea of we believe 2.0. Is there something there? Is there something not there? Draymond Green, guys, was asked about it after the game. Here was his response when it was brought up by the media.
I love the We Believe team. You know, Matt B, Stack Jack, BD, all those guys. But they had their thing and we got ours. You know, the We Believe days are over. Well, I won 3 championships. I'm not part of no We Believe team. And like I said, that's no disrespect to the OGs that came before me. I love those guys and what they started here is incredible. Jay Rich, Saginaw's finest. You know, no disrespect to them at all because what they did was incredible. Now, we're not no We Believe 2.0.
Well, the fact is there are similarities, whether Draymond likes it or not. And the second part of this, Dibs, is that okay, yes, Draymond, you won 3 titles, and that's the pinnacle of someone's career. But it doesn't mean that you can't tack on to your resume without winning a title. And that's what these guys can do. I'm not saying their legacy, Dibs, is debatable, but you put something special into this year, and it becomes part of your career in a big-time positive way.
It becomes a whole different feather in the cap. The 3 championships are great, and the 5 consecutive finals, wonderful. DPOY and the unanimous MVP, these are all great things. But if you do something that's so rarely done, an 8 over a 1 in the first round, even a 7 over a 2, if I told you University of Maryland, Baltimore County, you would think about not them winning a national championship, not it being a plucky little commuter school, but the fact that they beat Virginia as a 16 seed, the first 16 over a 1 in NCAA history, that's a something. So, Draymond, I apologize for beating the drum about We Believe 2.0, but if you're an 8 seed and you play, Utah, right, a team against whom, Nick, you've got some pretty fun franchise playoff history, and you beat Utah in a 7-game series, yeah, it's We Believe, and I do believe, and you've achieved.
And Dibs, it's like you're saying, it only will add to the legacy that's already been created. Steiny, it's interesting, though, listening to Draymond last night, hearing that clip again. This really feels like when he's talking about the play-in tournament. He goes, I don't give a damn about the play-in tournament. The reality for the Warriors is where they're at right now, they are an 8 seed. They are a 7 seed. They're a back of the playoff picture team, and whether or not they can get back up to the front of the West, we'll see. And Clay and his future and Wiseman and his future, that will be a huge part of whatever they become. But right now, this is who they are. And I don't blame Draymond for trying to kind of push it away, given the legacy that's already been created with the 3 titles and what they did and going to 5 straight finals. But this is what this team is in the present. And I could not agree more in that if they go into the playoffs and they get out of this play-in tournament and they go knock off a Utah or a Phoenix, which, guys, is not out of the realm. That's why the top of the West is just shivering in a little bit of fear, because this is not a normal 8 seed. They don't carry themselves like an 8 seed, and they don't carry themselves like an 8 seed because they got Steph Curry and Draymond Green at the head of the table telling everybody, hey, we're here and we're ready to play when the games come.
Well, how about this? And I just thought of this. How'd you like to be sitting at the top of the Western Conference right now knowing you're playing either the Lakers or the Warriors? Not just the Warriors. You know, the second team may get the Lakers. The number one seed may get the Lakers.
Oh, boy.
Exactly, Tim. Exactly. It's you think the NBA wouldn't like Utah, Golden State, or Phoenix, LA in the first round, or Utah, you know, or any of them machinations?
How about
it would
both?
Be incredible.
They'll take both right
yes,
now.
Yes, they will.
They'll take both. And you know what? They'll take Utah, Golden State, and Phoenix and the Lakers, I think, as opposed to the other way around. If I was, you know, channeling my inner Silver, not Mike, but Adam, I would rather – I like the Utah, Golden State, and something about – the history, and you know, you could show the little Baron Kirilenko, and you could show actually the inconvenient truth, shout out Al Gore, that the Warriors lost that series in five. It sure feels like they won that series, Nick, as I cross the aisle, but that would be terrific. And then, you know, Clippers intriguing, and Denver, and you've got Luka, who's he going to low bridge next, and will he get suspended, and a lot of intrigue in the West.
Yeah, there is a lot of intrigue, and the Warriors are right smack dab in the middle of it, and it's just, what do you want me to say? It's fun, man. It's fun. Joe, San Francisco. What's up, Joe? What are you loving about this run by the Warriors, Joe?
What do you got?
Joe, going once.
Hello?
Let's go to Eric. Eric's
hey,
buddy
Joe.
From Oakland. What's up, Eric?
Yo, what's up? What's up, 95.7 The Game?
There you go.
Yeah, man. Yeah. You know what, man? I'm sorry. I have to blow a little, you know, I have to bust your bubble a little bit with this comparison to
all
We
right.
Believe.
Okay.
Look, man, this is a new Warrior squad, new identity. Dre's right. They've won championships, man. All right? They reestablished this squad, reestablishing themselves as championship contender, championship caliber basketball team. We believe, man, in all honesty, it was great, man, but that they were losers back then, all through that era, you know, and after that season, they continued on to be losers, all right? I don't even want to compare as a man that grew up in Oakland watching the Warriors play. I don't want to compare what this squad has accomplished right now back to, you know, the We Believe squad. Much respect, man, but yeah, this is a whole new chapter.
All right. I don't know. I see something there with Barron and Curry. I see something there with the demeanor of Draymond and Steven Jackson and Matt Barnes. I see something with some quiet understatedness with Wiggins and Jay Rich. Hey, if you guys are the Warrior fans, if you don't like it, you don't have to like it. But there is something, what's the word when something comes full circle, Dibs? Well, it's something that
full
makes
circle-ish.
Full circle. How about that?
Full circle-esque?
Yeah, exactly.
It's a little bit of a, it's deja vu all over again, which is one of my least favorite expressions. It's a complete double meaning. But you look at the history of the 8-1, only 5 times has the 8 defeated the 1. So you don't have to hearken back to We Believe, but that was the first time that it happened in a best-of-7, and that was 2007, and it was a Warrior team that basically played 8 guys, kind of like this Warrior team that's playing 8 guys. And Baron Davis, while not as good a player as Steph Curry, had a Curry-like run, and the way that team finished the regular season is akin to how this team is finishing the regular season. They had a feisty Northern Californian and Matt Barnes, heavily tatted. And this team has a feisty Northern Californian, heavily tatted, in JTA. So you can turn away from the comparisons all you want. I choose to turn toward the light.
Well, in Dibs, Draymond can frame the narrative any way he wants. Hey, sure we're not, can. We believe, well, we've got Steph. Cool. In the next breath, guys, last night, there's Draymond saying, hey, I enjoy hunting, and exactly. We're hunting again.
Exactly.
And all these years, we were going to the finals, and we had the target on our back, and we were the hunted, but we're hunting again, and this is fun.
Yeah, Joe, let's play that because that was a fun quote from Draymond, too.
For a second there, we were the hunters. Then we turned into the hunted for 5-6 years, whatever it was, and now we're hunting again. That's always a fun position to be in when you're hunting, going after everybody else. So, you know, obviously has experienced both, but I love hunting.
Yeah, it's too bad we don't have Goo on the show today because Goo loves hunting too, Dibs. Huh? I don't mind it. I don't mind you knocking off a rabbit or two, but I'm not a huge hunter.
Well,
but,
it's too bad that we have a newborn, a toddler on the board who doesn't know and remember the show Hunter, the TV show Hunter, the great action detective. We could have come.
Fred Dreyer?
Thank
Dreyer.
You, Fred. We could have immediately cross-faded into the Hunter theme.
The young people.
And, exactly. The hell with the kids, I think, would have fit there, too. But, you know, it's funny you pointed that out, Nick, because you can't poo-poo We Believe and then talk about how now you're the hunter, you're this plucky underdog 8 seed. But no, it's not We Believe, even though I just drew 7 direct parallels. And, you know, don't even get me started on the head coach comparison. Don Nelson's affinity for the lettuce. Steve Moore, I think, on edibles for his physical ailments. So there's a lettuce connection too, Nick, as I'm continuing to draw and connect the dots.
Yeah, that We Believe team could get it done.
This all ties back.
We Believe.
There we go.
Take that to ESPN, Friedel.
Coming soon to a headline near you.
Sorry, Disney.
This all ties back into the theme of what's going on with this team right now, though, guys, because it is fun. And the reason why we've seen Steph and Draymond almost revitalized throughout this season, and the reason they're getting energy from the Juan Toscano-Andersons and Wiggins taking the next step in his own development in his career, is because they are enjoying being out there, and they're starting to see the seeds that were planted early in the season coming to fruition now. And that's the biggest key for all of the flaws on this roster. The guys who are out there right now know how to play with one another, and they've learned how to play off Steph and off Draymond. And Steph and Draymond, to their credit, stuck with these guys and realized, hey, there's some talent here. They watched it grow throughout the year, and now everybody knows exactly how to play at their best, and that's why we've seen this group take the step that it's taken in these last couple weeks.
Yeah. Brett's in Concord. Wants to talk about last night's game like everybody else. What's up, Brett? How you doing? What are you seeing out there?
Happy hump day, gentlemen. Well, I got to tell you, right now, first off, it is fantastic to be a fan of sports, born and bred in the Bay Area with the Giants, the A's, the Warriors. I mean, people could go their whole lives and never get it like this. And I doubled down yesterday. I'm not going to lie to you. I had a fantastic Tuesday because I started with the Giants game in the afternoon and then shot over to the Chase Center and watched the Warriors game.
Oh, wow.
I mean, that place, so the Chase Center was lit last night. I can tell you, when Bazemore, in the second quarter, I believe it was, when he picked Booker and went and laid that in and got that and one and then flexed on Crowder, I mean, you could tell that whole game turned on that play. Like, JTA backing him up, getting his teammate, getting in Booker's eye, and just saying, like, that's what I call him the crazy eight. Because, I mean, they're ready to go now. Yeah. Like, they're finally starting to hit that pinnacle at the right part of the season. I don't know how they worked that out that way, but it's working that way. And I can tell you, if it's either Utah or Phoenix, watch out. Thank God.
Yeah. No, thank you, Brett. I get that they don't want to be compared to We Believe, but, you know, they haven't done what We Believe did, and that's win that first series. So if you're telling me the Golden State Warriors are going to win a first-round series, I mean, I again, I'm still a little skeptical, but there's some things setting up, too. That the year that the Warriors beat Dallas, they kind of had their number. Well, they did have their number that year. You know what? The Warriors, they beat Utah twice this year. They just beat Phoenix when Phoenix was at full strength. I don't know.
I love when you start to convince yourself. Exactly. He's like, that's what his brain is doing right now. It's like little avenues of hope and of possibility and of dreams are cropping up around that old, the dusty corners of Steiny's brain. And well, you can see the light going on.
Well, Dibs, I mean, honestly, you and I have been around here for a long time.
You had me at more than three decades before, by the way. You watch your mouth. I'm not that old.
You know what? I had it written down, and on the sheet I had upwards of three decades, which would have been like 25 years.
Yeah. Yeah, so when Nick's around, let's round down with when the whippersnappers are in the building.
I got
But
you.
Go ahead.
I'm just saying, you know, We Believe was something that was – just incredibly special, and it was unique. And if you're telling me that this will be any kind of semblance of that, sign me up, because that was the most enjoyable basketball up until the championships that we'd seen with the Warriors. And I don't know. If I'm a Warrior fan right now, yeah, whether you will like the comparison or not, there's a hell of a lot to get excited about.
Nick, if they could do that in this building with fans and attendance slowly growing. Because we've talked, Nick, about the culture and the identity of Chase Center and this being really the grand opening, quite frankly. And what a splash that would be if you could win a game six at home to eliminate Utah in the first round.
It would be gigantic, and it reinforces the whole reason why you have that belief right now, Dibs. They have the baddest dude on the block. Can you imagine in a playoff setting with a few more fans in Chase, Steph getting rolling and running back down the floor? The reason that your mind starts to wander and dance to a point where you think it is possible, where they could get the playoffs and knock off a Utah or Phoenix, is because they have the best dude that there is, and he's aligned himself and surrounded now by guys who know how to play with him and how to get the most out of him. And that's a dangerous mix for a 7 or 8 seed going into the playoffs.
Yeah. 888-957-9570. Who was the hero for the Warriors last night? And we got an idea, and it might not have been anybody on the court. Also coming up, we're going to tell you how big of a win that was for the Golden State Warriors over Phoenix, because last night in our league, a lot was going on, and the Warriors had to keep up. We'll talk about it all. On the other side, we're going to take more of your calls, and it's all brought to you by Network Capital Funding.
Now, back to Steiny, Guru, and Dibs, featuring Nick Friedman on 95.7 The Game.
Curry takes the handoff, stutter steps to the far sideline, gets DeAndre Ayton, backed him up on the dribble, gets around him, drives in, throws out Draymond, JTA back to Curry, Curry with three, Curry with two, dribbles on the way, shoveled it up, left-handed, it goes up and in the paint, Warriors 120, Suns 116.
Yeah, you know what? That kind of got lost last night, that shot, but it was huge, and it was not an easy shot. A little left-handed scoop, floater, half hook with Ayton there. Curry's got a nice left hand. He's got a nice little left hand there, Steph Curry.
Only when off balance and hurling it toward the basket. I mean, I haven't seen him really square up with a lefty jumper, but maybe that's next, Nick, because, yeah. I mean, you force him left, off balance, one-legged, stanky leg from 15, 30, it doesn't matter, it's going in.
But for Steph, guys, Steiny, he was just as happy last night.
Right.
As bad as he was shooting from the outside, as he would have been if he had hit 11 threes, because he knows how much these guys have invested for him.
That's right.
In these last few months, and he wants to be there to pay back that favor. And I thought that part was cool too, because he is enjoying the ride just like all the rest of us. And instead of pouting and being like, "Oh man, I was terrible." That game ends last night. He was out there on the floor for 20, 25 minutes talking to Bob McKillop, his old coach at Davidson, and he was enjoying just being in that moment. And, hey, we got this win. And I can't tell you how many times in the fourth quarter last night I'm sitting in there and I'm looking up at the scoreboard and I'm like, they've got the lead? What the hell's going on? It's a fun time for a group that has really come together here down the stretch.
Absolutely. And how big of a win was last night? Well, the way to put it into perspective is to talk about last night in our league. Let's take a look at what happened elsewhere.
Five games around the league, around the association, that really had big impact. And we start with the headline, the Nuggets handle the Hornets.
Four to shoot, Jokic, stick back by Green.
Dig your heels in.
Campazzo, oh my goodness!
Valley Sports Southeast,
gotta be Eric
call
Collins.
117-112. We love Collins. And, man, did Nikola Jokic even further cement the MVP, Nick, with his 30-11?
It's done. That one, for all the consternation in the last few weeks, who will, who won't, that race is over with. Jokic is the MVP.
Yeah, Denver just a game behind the Clippers, but I agree with Nick. Especially because Jokic turned it up after Jamal Murray went down. So he's cruising to the title, Dibs.
Only a question of unanimous or what percentage of the vote he gets at this point. Game number two, the headline, Clippers rip the Raptors.
Kawhi, this is his 51st game of the season. Kawhi gets fouled by Stanley Johnson. And an and one.
20.7 rebounds, the sound from Sportsnet. The Clippers played 14 guys. They're two back of Phoenix with three left to play, Nick, but 14 guys. Talk about empty in the bench.
Do we believe in the Clippers?
I don't know what they are. I don't know who they are. I'm flummoxed, Dibs. Absolutely flummoxed.
Yeah, they're a different team when Kawhi's out there. And, ooh, the announcer with such verve. He's played in 50 games. Wow. Wiggins leads the league, by the way, with 70 played. Yeah. Game number three, Grizzlies mess up the Mavericks.
Grizzlies leading it by 24. Conchar with the pull-up. Yes! Hammer, nail, coffin. This baby is over. The Grizzlies by 26.
Bally Sports South, the call, 133-104. Where is Ja? Well, he's in the scorebook with 24. Memphis has won three straight, Nick, keeping pace with the Warriors.
Where is Ja?
Thank you.
The league was trying everything it could, guys, everything, to generate all this interest going into the play-in tournament, and it appears, the way things are right now, that Memphis and Golden State would have had the play-in game to begin with. That part is pretty funny looking back now.
Yeah, the thing that the thing that sticks out to me is if you're the Warriors and you lose these games to Utah and Phoenix, Memphis is in control and maybe can even lose the last game against the Warriors and maintain the eighth spot. But it's coming down to Sunday, Dibs, between the Grizzlies and the Warriors.
Unless the Kings can do the Grizzlies a solid with a couple of back-to-backs, which is yet to be seen. Game number four, those very Kings who toppled the Thunder.
And with the shot clock off, the Thunder's final road game of the season will go to the Sacramento Kings, who sweep the season series.
122-106, the sound from Bally Sports, Ohio. They outscored the Thunder 41-18. In the third quarter, can the Kings do the Warriors a solid, Nick, by beating the Grizz?
No. I don't think so. The Kings have been so bad for most of the year. That one would surprise me, Dibs. It really would.
Yeah, I don't think it's happening either, and the reason is because you get to this, and this is going to be the 15th straight year Sacramento to make the playoffs. Grizzlies have something to play for. I think the Grizzlies handle the Kings twice, believe it or not.
Well, that would surely set up intrigue for that last game. Game 72 would have absolute meaning. The final one for last night in our league, gentlemen, the Lakers crumble the Knicks in overtime.
Lakers down by a point. Over to Caldwell Pope, gives it right back to THT. They go into their action. Horton Tucker for the lead! TNT Dynamite!
Spadoni got muted for his Horton Tucker looking in the mirror goat tweet. Sorry, Spadone. 101-99. Julius Randle, 31-8 in the loss. Andre Drummond, 16-18. No LeBron, no problem, though, Nick.
The Knicks, Dibs, are the most surprising story in the league to me. Nobody expected anything out of that team this year. For Tibbs and Randle to have joined forces and for them to be playing the way they did. I looked at that box score last night. Derrick Rose played 39 minutes. That probably hasn't happened in, you know, 8-9 years. They are a lot of fun to watch, and I am very intrigued by whatever they're about to go do in the postseason.
It seems like the Lakers, Dibs, are still motivated to try to get to six. And they're still just a game behind Dallas, but they gotta win out, essentially.
And Portland as well, a game behind both. And Bill McDonald, Spectrum Sports, with that last call. And, you know, the play-in tournament, it's funny you said that, Nick, because, yeah, the Warriors in Memphis are going to play in for what would have been the play-in. But there's been intrigue in this battle, 5, 6, and 7. And, you know, the Spurs, not mathematically in just yet, but they can put that thing to bed in the race for 10 tonight.
Yeah, they can do
the
that.
Race for 10.
Hey, it's their creation, not mine.
Hey, I mean, if you look at, let's say, the teams 5 through 10, everybody's playing. Everybody's playing. And when I mean kind of playing hard, which a lot of times doesn't happen this time of year. So let's go out and listen to the fans a little bit because they're hyped from my sources. Joe's in the city. Joe is in the city. What is up, Joe?
Hello, gentlemen. One of the old-time Warrior guy fans.
Nice.
I'm 53, and, you know, I remember Purvis and World Be Free. This is one of the most satisfying seasons or teams. You never know what's going to be, so I'm very happy about that. But I want to compare my plucky Golden State Warriors to alcoholic drinks. So it's Steph, I think, is this extremely rare bottle of French champagne, maybe a Dom Perignon. There's only like maybe 5 to 15 of these bottles who have ever been made on planet Earth. Draymond is like Booker's. I don't know if you've had Booker's. It's a small batch Kentucky bourbon. It varies in alcohol content batch to batch. But it's usually like, when it's on, it's usually like 135 proof, and it packs a punch when it's delivered. Wiggins on Mount Enigma Bar, he's like absent. It's most people don't like it, but when it brings a punch, you might see the Green Fairy like we saw last night. And come on, Looney is beer. No guy ever complains about a good beer. And sometimes a good beer is all you need. It's a hot dog, it's hot and sunny, it's always consistent, it's always reliable. You never get excited about, you know, going to shop for it, but it's solid. So I'm just really hoping for this team. And I think this, I have no idea. But Wiggins may score 8 points next game. But it was a great game last night.
Yeah, that's brilliant, Dibs. Absolutely brilliant. I've never had absinthe.
No, and if you did and you had enough of it, it would be like Andrew Wiggins last night where all of a sudden it hits you out of nowhere. That thing hit hard last night.
And you want a party, Dibs.
Oh, man. You wind up New Orleans, Steiny. When we went for the Super Bowl, there was absinthe involved in a late-night tour of outer bourbon. But that's a story for another day.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, it's kind of like Everclear, where...
oh, jeez.
Yeah, it's sneaky.
Moonshine.
Pretty much, man. Yeah.
You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ, FM and HD1 San Francisco, an Odyssey station. This segment's brought to you by Fremont Bank, full-service banking, no compromises.